Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Why, but it's something to rise, giving me butterflies, surprise. But it's all because I love this feeling, man. Wouldn't trade your feeling just for nothing. It's just something I like, cause it feels so right. Man, I know she's my wife, cause she give me the high. She's an angel wife, all ain't no fool for her. And if she ever leave me, I'd be so hurt. I'm falling in love.
Mandisa Show, the global trendsetter in empowerment radio and the pioneering, trailblazing promotional machine for independent artists and humanitarian projects and initiatives. We are your invitation to awaken. We are moving transformation beyond conversation. I am your cosmic hostess, Mandisa Subira, and I'm excited to be your guide as we ride the waves of life together. Here at the E. Mandisa Show, we strive to unlock the riddles of our collective soul and get to the root of the issues that are imperative to our evolution. We utilize a strategic and holistic approach to the deconstruction of issues, leading us into the realm of enlightening and sometimes uncomfortable dialogue, but it's meant to awaken and inform. We are the Colbert Rapport with a hip-hop goddess twist. We are the conscious, editorial anti-venom to Rush Limbaugh. We are the voice of reason between conservative and liberal media. As Howard Sternian type spiritual shock jocks, we walk a thin line between insanity and crazy wisdom. So sit back, relax, buckle your seatbelts, and get ready to fly. Hello, and joining me in the studio today is my special guest, Kepra Pita, who is a master Reiki healer, and he is also a spiritual advisor. And today we're going to do a show on tough love, and we're going to be putting this human potential new age movement kind of out there in the front, because what's happening is a lot of people are getting very discouraged by conventional religion. So a lot of them are turning to spirituality and self-help and new age kind of things. And we just wanted to let people know that there's a lot of shysters out there. There's a lot of people that are leading people in the wrong direction. And there's a lot of people out there giving misinformation. And the only reason that we can feel that we are somewhat of an authority on this is because we ourselves have been on our spiritual journey for several decades. And everything that we're bringing to you is something that we ourselves have personally experienced. It's not something that we read in a book or Googled or had somebody tell us about, or it's not something that we spent $5,000 to go to a workshop to learn. These are things that we learned on our own spiritual journey by going within and testing the information that we received. Nothing in life is truly learned until it's experienced. So if you're walking around with just a bunch of knowledge and information and cute little words like consciousness running around, and you haven't yourself explored any of it or tested any of that information, then guess what? You're still asleep. So welcome, Kepra. It's a pleasure to have you on the radio, and I'm really excited about the conversation that we're about to have.
Oh, definitely. Thanks for having me on your show. You know, and I was listening to what you were saying about people becoming disgruntled about Western religion or conventional religion, and, you know, you can see this all around you. You know, the more people are beginning to come up out of their shell, they're beginning to ask more questions. You know, a lot of people are beginning to say, well, you know, something ain't right with the way things have been going. So where am I in all of this? Where am I going to go? You know, and who am I really? You know, I mean, these are very important questions that people and humans have been asking since the beginning of time. And I'm glad to see more and more people beginning to ask those questions in this day and time.
Oh, I totally agree with you, because one of the things that we were discussing on air, before we got on air, is the fact that we're both parents. And I have a son and you have a son, and they're black men. And black men are endangered species in this society, whether you believe that or not. Black men are some of the most maligned human beings on this planet. For instance, you know, another brother just got shot in Florida, a young man, simply because he was listening to his music loudly, and he got some guy got upset with him, and dude ended up dead. And, you know, his lawyer, the guy's lawyer said that the guy was felt in danger for his life, which is pretty much Trayvon Martin all over again, in danger for his life. Well, what people don't understand is black men are intimidating, apparently, just by their very presence. So they don't have to have a gun. They don't have to have any type of weapon. Their simple presence intimidates people. And why is that? Well, I believe it's because the God force vibrates so intensely from black men, simply because of their melanin. You know, their melanin does something to throw people off. And you know, black people are very peaceful people. We're very peaceful people. We're very happy people. We're very chilled out people. If you leave us alone, we're fine. You know, we have extended families. We have big hearts. We let people into our inner world, into our inner circle, the whole human family. And why would we not invite the whole human family into our lives when we are the mothers and fathers of civilization? And I know that a lot of people don't want to believe that, but your own science, that has created this technology that you're so addicted to, that same science proves that black people were the first people on the planet, which means everybody comes from my womb. So because I'm the mother of civilization, I feel that I have a responsibility not to reject white folks, not to malign white folks. I love white folks. Some of my best friends are white. But even in my family, I have white people. I have Native American people. My godmother is from London, England, you know, so I'm not prejudiced at all. I grew up in Montana, nothing but white folks. So it's not a racial thing. It's a consciousness thing. It's a character thing. And that's what we need to get down to. When Dr. King gave his speech about, I would like to be judged by the content of my character and not the color of my skin, he wasn't just talking about us all getting along. He was talking about being able to be a black man walking through the world, and you're not looking at him and judging him because of something some other black man did. That you're able to see that whatever that other black man did was because of that black man's character. It had nothing to do with the color of his skin. And in 2012, you would think that we would have moved beyond this, but we're not. Then you have this New Age stuff. Why they call it New Age, I don't know, because all they've done is gone to ancient civilizations and repackaged and regurgitated ancient wisdom to you. Wisdom from people of color. So there's not enough people of color, I feel, that are in this movement, that are in the human potential arena. When you see these workshops come into your town with the Deepak Chopras of the world and the people from The Secret and all of these people, you very rarely see people of color on the ticket. You see a bunch of Caucasian people who have gone and meditated with indigenous people and learned their customs, the same customs that these people were called savages for hundreds of years before, and given a Bible and Christianity because their culture and their way of dealing with the world was considered savage. Well, now these same people are going back, learning this stuff, writing books, and charging you $2,500 to go to a seminar. And to me, that's about internalized oppression. So, Brother Kapra, can you kind of build on that internalized oppression that causes us to continue to look outside of ourselves for our enlightenment?
You know, I'm glad you bring that up, because one thing, when you look at the New Age movement and how it deals with us, it's basically white supremacy with a spiritual twist to it. When you go to a New Age bookstore and you look at a section of Africa, the section is very small. But they separate the section of Egypt from Africa, knowing that Egypt is in Africa, number one. Number two, a lot of this indigenous knowledge that you see in these books, you know, a lot of times they'd rather tell you that they channeled it from some extraterrestrials or they talked to their higher selves and their higher selves transmitted this knowledge to them, knowing that they went to these indigenous places and talked to these shamans and got this knowledge. You know, then they come back to the States and they charge you like $2,000 a pop, you know, so they can basically sit in this big old chair and you can sit around their feet calling them your guru. And this person's life is probably a mess, okay? So when you read these books, a lot of this information is repackaged Hinduism, stuff they get from the Aborigines, Hermetic philosophy that goes back to Africa, ancient Egypt, and many other sources. You know, a lot of this stuff is not new, you know. A lot of this stuff did not come from no Greys or the Astar Command and that piece of crap Urantia book, which is full of racism. I mean, let's get real. Blavatsky called P.B. Randolph a nigger, but she is one of the founders of the Theosophical Society. But she did call a man a nigger and took credit for him killing himself. But she has a lot of followers. She has a lot of followers, and she's considered to be one of those cornerstones in the New Age movement. And then you got other people who basically denied that at one point in time that North America was called Egypt in the West, and they'd rather give the credit to Lemuria and Atlantis and can't even prove anything other than what they claim to have channeled, okay? They can't produce one relic, one piece of information with any letters, any language, or nothing. They don't know the language of the ancient Atlanteans, but all of a sudden they can channel information in pure English. No Atlantean, just English, and tell you what the Atlanteans looked like and how great their civilization was, and a lot of it is bullshit. So when it comes to being real and basically tapping into yourself, what does it mean to tap into the chakras? What does it mean to purify your aura? What does it mean to think positive? And why not focus on the negative if you know that it presents a problem and a challenge for you spiritually? Because in this world, if you read the ancient wisdom, it tells you that you are here because you're learning. You're learning how to deal with a world of polarity in which there is dual opposites, and these opposites keep the universe intact and keep the universe running. But when it comes to dealing with the race dynamic, you're supposed to have compassion when it's white folks, but when you see black folks killing each other and everything, oh, that's their karma. Oh, they must have attracted it to themselves some kind of way. Or the Native Americans must have been wiped out because it was their karma. They attracted it to themselves some kind of way, right? But you turn around and say that we're all one. Well, if we're all one, then that means by helping someone that's in need means that you're helping your universal self, right? So you see, there's a lot of contradictions in what they call New Age philosophy and this whole idea of crystal healing. It's more than that. It's more than strapping a jewel to your forehead and basically telling everybody that you're a guru because you read a few books and you just sat at the feet of some masters that you was privileged enough to afford while everybody else is probably working for your corporation. I mean, let's get real. A lot of this information that people call themselves all these gurus or they're known because they went to the Oprah Winfrey show, they don't give a shit about what happens in the ghetto. Not one of them, you know. So we could talk about Deepak Chopra. We could talk about Eckhart Tolle. We could talk about everybody, but when it comes to somebody that's dealing in the hood that's really trying to reach black folks or people of color, that person is totally ignored. Why? Because you're dealing with commercialization. Commercialization of the hierarchy. And a lot of this hierarchical stuff that they come up with, you know, let's look at the white New Age movement. Let's look at the white conscious community, and let's look at the black conscious community because they both have their conscious communities. The black conscious community, they basically look at melanin as a sole creative force in the conscious community. They talk about melanin and dark matter. And then you look at the white community, they talk about merging with the white light, and they also talk about the white universal white brotherhood. What's really going on here? You still see the polarity. You still see the opposites, but they talk about the same thing. It's just one applies it to the white light, the other applies it to melanin, but they're basically saying the same thing. One's talking about chakras. They both talk about chakras. They both talk about raising the kundalini. But you see, here's the thing. you're dealing with plagiarized knowledge because a lot of these groups are not telling you where it really came from. Now, if you take it back to Kemet and back to Egypt and you say that Hermes is the father of your philosophy, then why is it that you're going to ignore the people in whom Hermes was a part? Because you don't want to say it was African. You want to say that they were Atlanteans, and the Atlanteans have blonde hair and blue eyes. Pure fuckery. So if you don't like it, you know, that's all right. You know, I ask anybody to challenge me on this. Go ahead. Because the thing about it is that I'm coming out of here with spirit, and spirit has told me to stop sugarcoating things. I'm not going to sugarcoat nothing for people anymore. Either you want to know the truth, and what your spirit is yearning to know, or you're going to continue to stick with the lies and continue to live in a fantasy world in which you create in your imagined perfect world, which does not exist. Yes, the law of attraction is a real factor. Yes. However, there are also situations and there are problems that were meant to be solved on this planet. So, anyway, that's my take on that.
Well, exactly. You know, and the thing about it is, you know, telling the truth, speaking your truth, things of that nature. It's that's why I say on this show we're spiritual shock jocks. We're spiritual shock jocks, you know. We are the Howard Sternian spiritual shock jocks. We're going to say stuff that's going to blow your mind, that's going to piss you off, that's going to make you go, what are they talking about? Simply to wake you up, to get you to think, to get you to question, to think, to get you to know and understand that this is not something that somebody else can do for you. This is not something somebody else can teach you. This is not something anybody else can give you the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You have to do your own introspection, which means, you know what? Instead of staying on Facebook for 8 hours or sitting and watching television, take some time to get quiet and let your spirit talk to you. Let your heart talk to you, because all knowledge, wisdom, understanding is within you, and it will guide you to the right answers. It will guide you to the knowledge that you're seeking. And when we talk about polar opposites, everybody wants to drop wisdom from Yoda and the Jedi, and everybody wants to talk about the blue pill and the red pill. But did you guys really watch those movies? The Jedi Council never sat around and said, okay, we're going to go out and we're going to build us some new weapons of mass destruction. We're going to get us some new lightsabers, and we're going to go attack the dark side. No. What did they always say? We're going to bring balance to the Force. Balance. The only time they fought against the dark side is when the dark side fought against them. That's the only time. They never went out and purposely attacked the dark side. When Neo, in the first movie in The Matrix, when Neo first got out of The Matrix, and at the end of the movie, when he's on the telephone in the phone booth, what does he say? He says, I'm going to tell them the truth. He said nothing about attacking them and destroying them and all of that other stuff. He said, I'm going to tell them the truth. Why is he going to tell them the truth? Because guess what, people? Even though I don't agree with the creator, and I think that the creator probably was a little bit didn't maybe think about this enough, considering the stupidity of human beings, that he gave us free will choice. But Neo said that he's going to come and tell you the truth. He didn't say he was going to come snatch you out of the Matrix. He said he was going to come tell you the truth, because it has to be your own free will choice. It has to be your own free will choice to sit there and say, how come when I was just driving my car down the highway, this window opened up in my imagination and I saw myself doing counseling for somebody, or I saw myself singing or dancing or acting, or I saw myself doing this seminar, or I saw myself owning my own business. And then we just think, oh, that's just some wild fantasy. No, that's your higher self telling you, this is what I created you for. On my past show, I was talking about snowflakes and how we have such a beloved creator, that our creator took the time to make each snowflake different. It's just snow that gets dirty, that we drive over, that we shovel, that we get mad, that it gets in our way of traveling where we need to go. He took the time to create snow, each individual snowflake differently. And each individual person is different. So you really, 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 really think that you were created to sit here and be oppressed, to sit here and put all your hope in Barack Obama? Really? You were put here to get up every day and go to a meaningless job that makes you sick, that frustrates you, just so that you can afford to survive, just so that you can afford to pay your bills, so that you can buy more stuff, so that your stuff is better than your neighbor's stuff, so that you can brag about the stuff that you got. And as soon as you get stuff, new stuff comes out. So then we have all this trash and landfills, and we're destroying our planet. And the thing about it is humanity thinks that this is normal. They think that this makes sense, that all of us are running around like little sheep, waiting for a savior to come and help us. Well, you know, look how many prophets and saviors the universe has sent us, and what did we do? We kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Give us Barabbas.
Yeah.
Jesus is a cool cat, and yeah, it was really fun hanging out with him, and it was really fun telling my friends, yeah, guess who I'm hanging out with? Man, I'm hanging out with the Son of God. I've followed him all over Damascus. Yep, that's my dude. Oh, wait a minute, I have to change? You're telling me that Psalms 82, verse 6, you know, you're telling me that all of us are gods and sons of the Most High? Jesus is telling me these things that I do, don't be impressed, turning water into wine, oh, that's nothing. Feeding the masses, please, you could do that. These things that I do, you can do also, and much greater things. And Jesus put the responsibility back on you to saying, don't be impressed with what I'm doing, because you too have that light within you, but you have to find it for yourself. Jesus was a revolutionary. He fought against government and principalities and oppression. But we have exalted him to this space where we can't achieve where Jesus achieved. And in his own words, he said, these things that I do, you can do also, and much greater things. But he put the responsibility back on you, and what did you guys do? Give us Barabbas. Give us the thief, because we would rather identify with him than the light that is within us.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. People want to be cheated, you know. That's it. You know, they want to deal with the thief. They don't want to take the responsibility of dealing with the truth, you know, because they know that once they step into that arena, that they have a lot of work on themselves to do. They don't want to do that. So they'd rather crucify the Christ and take the thief, take the murderer, you know. And we're seeing it happen to this day. You still try to tell people about something that will help them, and they will not listen to you. You can show them about health, alternative health. They're not going to listen to that if they're familiar with the criminal Food and Drug Administrated stated doctors, clinics, and everything else who continue to rob people and give them a whole bunch of faulty prescriptions that they know don't work or create more toxicity in the body. But they're used to it. They're comfortable with it. They know it doesn't take a lot of work other than just pop a pill, as opposed to them taking the responsibility, exercising, eating better, you know, thinking better, as opposed to always being down in the gutter and identifying with all the darkest, lowest things in the creation. You know, we have to understand that beings of light is who we are. You know, we're not spirits with a body. We're not a body with a spirit. We're spirits with bodies. So we're physical beings that actually are spirits manifesting in matter. And we're here to spiritualize matter. We're spirits. We're beings of light. So when we get beyond the physical, we can understand that we are not limited. However, we came to this world to learn a certain thing, and you're going to notice something. People of color are dealing with a certain situation. And that situation that has not been dealt with enough is what we call the economic system of white supremacy. Now, I know it hurts for me to bring this up for many people, but everywhere you go, you notice that white people on top and black folks at the bottom, so it's easy for you to run around talking about how the law of attraction works for you because you're privileged. Let's be real. You know, anybody can talk about the law of attraction, how they can have everything they want if they ain't got to work a damn day in their life and they got everybody else working for them. I mean, hell, you watch The Secret. They even tell you that The Secret was a secret among a few businessmen And now you see a bunch of businessmen in business suits telling you that the secret is yours, you know. But you see, it takes a while for things to manifest. Things does not happen overnight. And you have to get rid of the slave mentality that the people have. They've been educated since birth. So when you go to school, it's perpetuated. Ain't nobody learning nothing about no law of attraction when they're going to school. They're not learning about this on their jobs. And everything around them tells them that they're not good enough. Everything. You know, oh, well, maybe it's their karma that they were born into these conditions. Really? Okay, it's their karma that they were born into these conditions. But in your own writings and teachings, I keep on hearing you throw around these words like compassion, compassion, compassion. And I remember, Imandisa, you was telling me about how these white folks is asking the Dalai Lama how they can have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but they read all of his books, right? They read all of his books, and they don't listen to all these different gurus on Oprah Winfrey, and they still don't know what compassion is. Are you serious?
Well,
you don't know what compassion is?
It's funny you should bring up the Dalai Lama, because I went to a Buddhist meditation retreat on one of those islands outside of Seattle, and it was supposed to be like the weekend of total silence, right? So I get there, and of course it's just all white folks and then me and my homeboy from Chicago. And so the whole point was we would do seated meditation for like 20 minutes, and then we would do walking meditation for about 20 minutes. And then in between there were we would have little snacks and meals, right? And also you had to bow to the Buddha any time that you came in contact with the Buddha. Well, what was funny is they had a Buddha by the bathroom. So I felt like an idiot bowing to the Buddha whenever I had to go in and out of the bathroom. So then after we would do the walking meditation and then the seated meditation, they had this napkin that was folded into four squares, and you had like a little teacup in one square and your chopsticks in another square and your bowl of food and then another little bowl to like dip your fingers in, right? And they had a routine where you had to do it like counterclockwise, right?
Mm-hmm.
So every time we sat down to have the little snack or whatever, because we couldn't talk to each other, all the people would look at me and my homeboy because we were doing everything backwards. We were like dipping our chopsticks in the finger bowl and just dropping our noodles in our tea, and we had everything. So after about 4 hours of this, they gave us a break. And him and I went out into the forest where they couldn't see us. And he's like, we got to get out of here. I said, yeah, I know. We got to get out of here. This is crazy. So before we did that, we had to, of course, go sit at the feet of the master, the major Buddhist master, okay? Now, I didn't meet the Dalai Lama, but I got to see the Dalai Lama and be in his presence when he came to Minneapolis. The Tibetan people have such heart chakra energy. I felt so loved to be surrounded by them. Minneapolis has one of the biggest populations of Tibetans in exile. The Dalai Lama, when you're in his presence, he just feels like this huge, huge heart chakra, and you can feel his compassion. Well, of course, he meditates 6 hours a day. This is what he does.
Mm-hmm.
When he came to Minneapolis, it just so happened that the Chinese consulate was in town. The Dalai Lama went to the Minnesota legislature and said, what are you guys doing business with China when they are oppressing my people? So the Minneapolis Star interviewed him, and they asked him, do you ever get angry? And he said, of course I get angry. Okay, this man is a Dalai Lama of compassion. He meditates 6, 7, 8 hours a day. Okay, this has been his vocation for almost 70 years. He's done this. And he admitted, yes, I get angry. Yes, it hurts my feelings. Yes, I still have to grow. So I go and sit with this guru guy here at this meditation retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, okay, my dear, you know, what is troubling you? And I said, well, you know, I'm a social justice activist. And I've been out there protesting against police brutality, and I've put my life at risk because I've had the police and the feds, you know, tapping my phone and doing surveillance on me, and you know, and it's really starting to get kind of scary because I'm putting myself out there speaking out against injustice. And to be honest with you, I really don't like people that much, so I don't even know why I'm doing this, because humanity has me so pissed off that I don't even really understand why I'm standing up for people who won't even stand up for themselves. And you know what he said to me? He said, well, the Dalai Lama doesn't get angry. And this was after.
Yep,
so I'm sitting
the
here
Dalai
trying
Lama.
To figure out, how bowing to the Buddha and how eating your food counterclockwise had anything to do with Buddhism, had anything to do with the spiritual teachings of the Buddha, who just woke up one day in his privilege because his parents wouldn't let him out of his kingdom. He sneaks out of the kingdom, sees all the suffering in the world, and strives to understand it. And he said, I'm going to sit under this tree till I figure it out. Now, how did that get turned into and bastardized into whatever kind of weird workshop that I went to that cost me $200 to go to?
Yeah, you know, it's the whole idea, even Buddhism, Siddhartha Gautama, a.k.a. Shakyamuni, he didn't have any images of himself. You know, I'm pretty much sure that after he passed away, he would not have wanted anybody to be erecting statues of him and bowing down to him, you know, because he wanted people to look at the Buddha within. You know, I mean, he was telling people that he was not a god. He was telling people that he was just awake. So he was giving people instructions on how to wake up. But what do? They create a whole bunch of rituals and basically have you walking in circles and counterclockwise and dipping your finger in bowls and bowing to some statues. You know, and that's the madness in which we're dealing with today. I am the Buddha. You are the Buddha. Everybody is enlightened. They just got to remember that they're enlightened. They just got to know it. You know, they have to, I mean, in the deepest situation that we can even deal with, we have to understand that the pain and suffering, it hits us because the highest element of who we are and what we are knows what's up, you know. So you're here to experience all these things in dealing with pleasure and dealing with pain. You know, you're going to deal some suffering because there's also pleasure here. I mean, that's the truth, you know. So people take advantage of people suffering, you know, the fact that people are seeking something. And then they want to charge you all this money and come up with some dead ritual and have you going around in circles, literally and figuratively.
Literally, right, exactly.
You know,
and it's really interesting that you brought up the secret, because it was such a huge phenomenon and became even more of a phenomenon because Oprah Winfrey really pushed it. And again, all the secret was, and it was funny because I watched her interview, the lady who wrote the book, and she acted like this is just some new stuff that just came from nowhere, and she's going to be the one to present it to the world when, shoot, the Beatles knew about this. You know, John Lennon and them were out there meditating on it. I mean, this information has been around since the beginning of time, but some lady decides to write a book and get a bunch of spiritual gurus together to sit there and tell you stuff that's been told a million, 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 trillion times before. And what's a trip is that one of the guys from The Secret, you know, James Ray, he's doing time now because people got killed at one of his spiritual retreats. People died at one of his spiritual retreats. Now, what's ironic about it is he came to Seattle, I believe it was in 2000, what year was that? 2007. It was before I left Seattle. He came to Seattle, 2007, 2008. And he came to Seattle to do a workshop. Okay. So me and my homegirl got there late, and there had to be about 200 people there. It was a free workshop. And there was a when you sat down, there was a piece of paper on your seat. So I picked it up, and on the corner, it had like his CDs and his books and his seminars, but there was no prices for it. Then it had all these things that you needed to fill out, you know, like your name, your email address, your contact information, and all this stuff. Then at the bottom, it asked for your credit card information. So you know how black folks are. At that point, we put the paper down, right?
Yeah.
So I sat there, and the beginning of the seminar, he was regurgitating all this ancient information, you know, this ancient teachings, and talking a lot about the law of attraction. So I'm taking copious notes. Yeah, this is really, really, really wise. Yeah, this is good information. And all it was things I've heard before, just him saying it in a different way, you know, so I'm enjoying it. So then we get to the reality of it. He sits there and says, hey, I'm going to be in town all week, and I'm going to have a workshop. And this workshop costs $350. And if you do not come, you're not serious about your spiritual growth. So all of this positive energy that he gave everybody all of a sudden put people into fear and questioning themselves, because they're like, wait a minute, it's almost the first. I got to pay my rent. I got to pay my car note. It's not that I don't want to evolve. It's just that I don't have $350 to go to some workshop. So he's guilt-tripping the people, you know, into saying that he is the way, the truth, and the light. And that unless you pay $350 to go to his workshop, then you're not serious about growing as a person. So you know what me and my homegirl did? We got up and left. So fast forward 2 years later, where this guy decides to have this retreat out in the desert in Arizona. He denies these people food and drink, sends them out into various parts of the desert, where they had to spend the night in the desert by themselves. They each had to find an area where they could be alone. No food, no water, okay? Then he turns around and makes a so-called sweat lodge out of garbage bags and rugs, carpet, okay?
Oh, wow.
There was one part, one exercise, where they said he dressed up in this white robe, and the whole exercise was for them, these people, to be on their knees, looking at him as God and asking him for things, and what he did is he walked around and ignored them, right?
What an egotistical idiot.
Okay,
I'm listening.
So then inside this makeshift sweat lodge, now I'm Native American, and I've sweated, and I know what sweats are, and I know the spiritual tradition of a sweat and the purpose of a sweat, okay? And a sweat lodge is always connected to the earth. It's not some little metal tin thing with carpet and everything is all natural. So
yeah.
He starts this sweat lodge. Well, what happens is the fire that he's doing starts interacting with the chemicals in the carpet that he's put on top of the sweat lodge. So it starts emitting toxins. So these people are literally throwing up, having convulsions, and he's just standing there looking at him, and he said, that's just pain leaving your body, and if you leave the sweat lodge, it means this, this, and this, and this about you. Three people died, Kipra. Now he's doing time.
Yeah.
And these people paid $9,000. Now, these same people could have got up in the morning, went to their local park, and sat underneath a tree and contemplated their own spirit.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wow. He charged these people $9,000 a pop?
To die, yes.
Oh, wow.
And his lawyers said, oh, well, they signed a release form, as if that's supposed to keep him from being responsible. And I don't know if Oprah ever came out and said anything. I don't know if the other people from The Secret came out and said anything. But you know what? I wouldn't touch any of those people with a 10-foot pole at this point, because his energy felt negative to me and weirded me out 2 years before these people died.
Yeah, sounds like James Ray, that's his name?
Yeah, James Ray.
Sounds like to me that what he did is part of The Secret now.
Well, yeah, and they said, you know, the human potential movement is a $1 billion industry. First of all, why is this an industry? Why is this an industry? Well, I guess because religion is kind of an industry, you know. So I guess that people don't think that this New Age thing is any different is this New Age thing is different from religion, because, you know, when you go to the church, everybody talks about, oh, I'm doing all this tithing, and it's buying the pastor a $900 suit and a new car, and all these mega churches are popping up. Well, you're doing the same thing. You're tithing to the New Age movement every time you go and buy these books and seminars and all this other stuff, and I'm not saying don't do it. I've been to them. My thing is, use your discernment. Take the information that's given to you and apply it to your life. If it works, cool. If it doesn't, then it's not for you. But just to sit there and because some person is in your local newspaper and is having a seminar, it doesn't make them any more enlightened than you are. It doesn't make them any more knowledgeable. And how can they be? They're not you. You are the authority on you. Period. And each of us have our own path. So all of this stuff that they're telling you about is completely different. I became, I think that the biggest part of my enlightenment came from being a social justice activist and being out there in the streets advocating for the people. The other part of my path is that I'm an actor, and my acting training comes from Japan, and I have about 2,000 hours of this training that comes from the East, and that was my path to enlightenment. Yeah, I've read some books. I think now I've read quite a few Deepak Chopra books and Linda Goodman and Eckhart Tolle, and I'm just like, all it did was confirm what I'd already found out inside myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Right.
If you haven't found this knowledge inside yourself first, you know, then how is it your truth? It just sounds good. It feels good. And, of course, when you hear the truth, it resonates with you, but it doesn't become your truth until you test it. You have to test this knowledge. People ask me all the time, do you believe in ghosts and spirits? No, I don't believe in them. I know they exist. There's a difference between the word believe, which contains the word lie, because you could believe anything. Didn't all of us used to believe in Santa Claus? Okay,
right.
And now I know that there's no Santa Claus. So in the word believe, you have the word lie, but in the word know, you have the word won, W-O-N. You've won.
Uh-oh.
You're victorious because now you know something. And I know that spirits exist because I've talked to them. I've seen them. I've had people be around me and ask me a question about one of their loved ones, and I'm able to say something that there's no way I could have possibly known. For instance, I was at one of my girlfriend's house one day, and when I see spirits, you know, it's just like that movie, The Ghost. It's just like that movie Ghost, where when Patrick Swayze first crosses over, and he gets with that one ghost to teach him how to move things. And how that one, in that scene where Whoopi Goldberg's standing there, and there's like all these spirits around her, and she's like, what is wrong? You know, why are they all talking to me? And then someone says to her, well, when they find someone that can hear them and see them, then, you know, they all gravitate towards that person to get their messages out because most people don't open themselves to that other realm. So when they find someone that can hear them and see them, then they kind of gravitate towards them.
Right.
And so when I see spirits, usually they're just flashes of light. Very rarely are they like a whole embodiment of a person. It just depends on how evolved they are. Some of them send me images of pictures. Some of them I can kind of hear them talking to me. And some of them I just feel them. Well, I was at one of my friend's house one day, and I was upstairs, and she was really an abrasive woman, and she was always fussing at her kid and spanking her kid, and her kid was like 4 or 5 years old, and things of that nature. So I'm upstairs, and I keep seeing this flashlight, and I keep ignoring it, and it gets more and more and more persistent. So I say, okay, who are you, and what do you want? So the spirit said, hey, I'm Michelle's grandmother, and can you please tell her to stop screaming at the baby and spanking the baby, because it's not good for the baby. And I'm like, I am not going to go down there and tell her that I'm talking to her grandmother. My friends already think I'm completely crazy as it is, and she's not going to believe me, right? But the energy was insistent. I was like, okay, fine, I'll go tell her. So as I'm walking down the stairs, I see this apparition of John Denver. Okay, now the girl that I'm talking about is a black girl, right? Okay. I never met her grandmother. Her grandmother died probably 10, 15 years before I even met this girl. So I'm walking down the stairs, and I see this apparition of John Denver sitting on the stairs playing a guitar. So I'm like, what in the world is John Denver doing here, right? Didn't make any sense to me. So I come down the stairs, and I said, Michelle, I was just upstairs talking to your grandma, and she said that you need to stop spanking the baby.
Oh, man.
And she's like, oh, yeah, right, you were talking to my grandma, blah, 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 blah. And then I said, well, you know, I knew she wouldn't believe me. So then I stopped and I said, but you want to know something even weirder than your grandma talking to me? I said, John Denver is sitting on your stairs. And she was holding some plates at the time, and she dropped the plates and she said, oh, my God. And I'm like, what? She said, John Denver was my grandmother's favorite singer.
There you go.
Okay. Huh. Now, I didn't make that up. I was minding my own business. So you can choose to believe in spirits and ghosts, that there's an afterworld or not. I'm here to tell you from my own life experience that they do exist, that your loved ones still exist, that they're still watching over you. And even if they've embodied in a new body temple, that spirit, that energy that they were when they knew you is still there. And all you have to do is tune into it and be open to it, and don't be afraid of it, because it's everything is energy. We're all energy. And when you talk about energy, people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yes, you do. Have you ever walked into a room where people are angry and you feel it? Have you ever walked into a room where people are sad and you feel it? What does it feel like when you go to a funeral? That air is so heavy. And everybody knows what I'm talking about. When you walk into a funeral, you could cut the energy in that room with a knife. So don't tell me you don't know what energy is. The only reason that you're not in tune with energy is because you don't take the time to go into silence. You don't take the time to have some you time, some alone time, and then you make the excuse, well, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. Well, then that means that you don't love yourself, you don't care about yourself, you don't want to evolve, and you don't want to be the divine being that you were created to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things in dealing with the other side is the fact that you have to be on a certain frequency, you know, to be open to it. A lot of times people do all kind of things that change their frequency. One of the things that I wanted to reach out to communities of color, especially the black community, is to be careful of the chemicals you put in your hair, the soaps that you use, and even the materials that you wear, because it can also throw off your frequency if you're not careful. Like, for instance, I use black soap, you know, or I usually use natural products. But sometimes these chemicals can throw off your frequency, and it can either put a blockage on your receptivity to spirit, or it can open you up to receive the influence of a negative spirit. Like, for instance, when you're drinking, you can drink coffee around people who are attracting negative spirits, and that coffee will open a hole in your aura and will let the spirit in, okay? A lot of spiritualists might actually drink some alcohol to open themselves up to the influence of the spirit, or they might use some type of what they might consider a drug to make you receptive to that spirit. So it is very important that people develop a certain form of consciousness, even if they're going to be channeling. You know, there's certain things that I advise people to do, to be careful how much salt that you might take into your system if you're going to be channeling, because salt has a way of throwing off your spiritual radio, okay? So if you eat a lot of salty foods and things of that nature, which is why some disciplines, they'll tell you to eat bland foods or too fast, you know, because it can also distort the message or throw it off. And, you know, talking to my uncle when I was younger, I remember him saying that the family used to see a lot of apparitions, but nobody really tripped about it because it was accepted. Even though they were from Louisiana and most of my people, you know, they were some diehard Christians, to see a ghost or a spirit didn't really bother them that much, because it's like, oh, that's your Auntie Betsy, or that's Uncle Hudson, or that's Paul. You know, it's like they knew that the spirit of the person survived after their physical body had died. And it was kind of like taken for granted, like, yeah, that's just your uncle. Yeah, you know, he's been around here for a while. But now, as time is going on and people have got farther and farther away from their roots and they're getting more into this world of technology and they're forgetting about these things, you know, it either freaks them out or they're in total denial of its possibility. You know, when it comes to picking up frequencies, a lot of times your ears might start ringing, and I was told at one point in time that, oh, that's the spirit of Yah screaming in your ear. But, you know, that's a metaphor, the fact that you're being downloaded with information from the other side. And sometimes it's good to just go into meditation and sit and pay attention to what is happening. Or when you find yourself laying in the bed and discover that you cannot move your body, you're in the alpha stage of an autobody experience. You will not be able to move your body because that body is not awake, but you can move your astral body. And the trick is that a lot of times when you find yourself not being able to move, you can't move your body, but some strange reason, a lot of people have reported, including myself, that you can see everything around you in the room. That's a hint. Sometimes you might hear a buzzing, an electrical buzzing noise, and things of that nature. When you find yourself in that state, let your body go to sleep. And you'll travel the astral realm, and you'll be able to travel to other dimensions in this reality. You might see where the mountains at one point in time in this life, they look like, well, regular mountains, but then you're in the astral plane, they might look like a whole bunch of gumdrops. Or the space needle might look like a giant radish or carrot stick. You know, the energy pattern is still there, but you're on a different frequency range. Okay? Your blue shoes in this realm are green in the other realm. Okay? So there's different dimensions and there's different realities. And you got to keep in mind that what you're seeing around you is based on a frequency range of what you're tapping into, which is why some things can move inside or outside of that range of perception. You might see a black shadow hurry up and move in front of you, and then you look and it's gone. You know, some people are known to see UFOs, and they see them all the time, and other people don't. You know, and it has to do with the fact that they're on this certain channel. Now, keep in mind that we do live in a holographic universe. This universe is holographic in nature, you know, and we're seeing what we have collectively agreed to see. Our collective thoughts and our collective agreement is holding this stuff together. The all is mind, but the universe is mental.
Right.
So, from years and years and years and years and years of conditioning, lifetimes of conditioning, we want to change our reality. We would like to see a change overnight. But due to lifetimes of conditioning, it takes time. It's not something that happens overnight. You know, as much as people are like it, most people have to develop themselves, you know, before they start seeing those thoughts manifest tangibly. Now, keep in mind, though, everything that you think of enough, it does manifest. It does manifest, you know. So it's really important for you to get rid of the self-hatred or the believing that you can only do so much, that you have to work at this meaningless 9-to-5 job, you know, that you're all by yourself, or that you're waiting for some other person to come into your life to complete you. All of these things and all of these thoughts is what's keeping you unable to advance and move to where you want to move. Now, you talked about relationships at one point in time. I think that's important, sister, because the fact of the matter is that a whole lot of people are breaking up. There's a whole lot of separations taking place in this 2012. You can see it. You turn on Facebook, and next thing you know, oh, man, so-and-so then separated. Best friend is separated. Oh, my God, my cousin is separated. Grandpa, he even separated. Grandma and grandpa then separated, and they're still alive now. And what the hell is going on? And what it is we're approaching a time when you're going to have to be at a certain frequency to be ready for the energies that are coming to this planet. And ego and things that are attaching you to ego is not going to be what gets you through it. So all these relationships, for those who are ready to evolve and move to a higher plane, they're going to discover that something keeps happening that is separating from them from people who are not supposed to be going on that journey with them. No matter how much you try to hold on, because it's agreement on a soul level that you're not going to be with this person during the shift. This person served their purpose in your life. Now it's time to find the mate that's suitable for you to go on that journey, or you might go on it alone. Whatever it is on your soul contract, you know, this has to be understood. It's not a hate thing. It's not so much of a judgment, but it's something that you have to be ready for because of the collective agreement that we made. There's no fear in this. It's not about being afraid about what's going to happen. It's just about understanding that we're about to come into an energy shift, you know, and it's going to be a shift of consciousness. There's going to be something that happens on this planet that's going to, you know, where you're going to have to raise your frequency to receive the beneficial elements of these changes. And that's all.
Well, exactly. Finish your thought.
You know, but you're not going to do it if you're going to be bickering and arguing with somebody. You know, here you are, you're this really spiritual person, and you go back home and your wife is pulling out knives on you. Or, you know, you're this spiritual person, you got followers over the place, and then you go back home and your man is kicking your ass. I mean, it doesn't work. It's not supposed to work like that. It's just not going to work that way. Okay?
Exactly.
And that's why all these separations are taking place, because there's a lot of people who are unmatched in frequency. Simple. Mm.
And it's very true, because for some reason people think that the Mayan civilization is dead. Their descendants are still here. And I watched a YouTube video from a Mayan, and that's the first thing that he said, that they are so angry with the fact that this 2012 thing has been co-opted by, you know, corporations and as an excuse to sell and market. And it's just so sick how we take everything that's pure and genuine and we try to make money off of it, and we try to gain some type of material world advantage off of things, you know. And so he was really upset that they have basically sold this as, oh, it's the end of the world, you know, the end of the world is coming. Well, that's not good, because what happens is people associate that with Y2K. They associate it with that crazy preacher who said last year that the world was coming to an end. They're not looking at the fact that this is a Mayan civilization that watched the movements of the stars for thousands of years and noticed a pattern. We all noticed the pattern. We live in a very organized universe. This, you know, the tides come in and out. The moon waxes and wanes. The sun rises and sets. The planets go revolve around the sun at a time in an energy that can be foretold years and years and years in advance. And this thing with the Mayan thing has a lot to do with a Venus transit, a transit of Venus. And so what this Mayan guy was saying was that what is going to happen on 12-21-12, he said it's actually going to be from 12-21-12 to 12-23-12. That during those 3 days, that the consciousness of the people on this earth has the opportunity to transcend. Those people who have been doing their inner work, who have cleared themselves of fear and all this other nonsense, are going to transcend into a fifth dimension. That doesn't mean that we're going to wake up and we're going to be living on a different planet. It just means that we're going to be experiencing the world differently. And those people who are stuck in fear and anger and lack and hate and low self-esteem and all of that, they're going to be stuck on the third dimension. They're going to wake up on 12-22-12, and the world's still going to be the same for them. Nothing will have changed. The only difference is that those people that were vibrating on a higher frequency will no longer be in their lives, because the people vibrating on a higher frequency aren't going to be able to relate to the people on the lower frequency. So what he said was that the reasons that the Mayans built the pyramids was that they knew that when 2012 came, that there would be this surge of energy that would come into the earth. And the pyramids were supposed to harness that energy and ground it into the earth. Well, because so many of the pyramids in North America have been destroyed, Him and a group of people have been going around and making little makeshift makeshift pyramids and putting them in the earth in hopes that that will ground the energy. Because he said, in essence, this surge of energy is only going to be around for 8 minutes. He said, so for 8 minutes, people are going to wake up, they're going to feel different, they're going to feel this surge of energy, and they're going to be like, oh, yeah, we can have peace. Oh, yeah, I can get along with my neighbor. Oh, yeah, I can be a singer, a dancer, an actor, and a doctor, even though I'm 50 years old. I can go back to college. Yeah, well, that's going to last for 8 minutes, and that's it. And then people are going to go back to sleep, you know? So they're doing their best to ground this energy into the planet so that it will have more time to disseminate itself to humanity. So a lady asked him, what time is this 8 minutes going to happen? And he said, well, here's the thing. You know, everybody wants to know a time when there is no time in the universe. He said, so the best way that I can explain it is that when we have a full moon, it appears to us on Earth that the moon is full for 3 days. But in reality, the moon is only full for 8 minutes. So the only thing that he could advise was that between 1221 and 1223, that you do your work, that you meditate, that you walk around in nature, that if it's still not snowing in your place, take your shoes off, put your feet on the earth, get into some silence, take a bath, do something that is fast, you know. Put yourself in a space that during those 3 days that you have opened your vessel to be able to receive this energy, because it's not the end of the world. It's the end of this consciousness, this Pisces age consciousness of suffering and martyrdom and illusion and delusion and fantasy. That's what Pisces rules, okay? And that's the age we're coming out of. And it's really ironic that Pisces' key word is I believe. And we're moving into the Aquarius age, where Aquarius' key word is I know. I know. So now people are going to start asking you, what do you, instead of people asking you, what do you believe, what do you believe, people are going to ask you, what do you know? And then what are you going to say? Because once you say you know something, they're going to ask you how you know it. And they don't want to hear about the fact that you've read it in a book or you Googled it or your uncle told you about it. They want to know that you've experienced it for yourself and that it was your own reality. What do you know and why do you know it and how do you know it? And that's the energy that we're moving into, this consciousness. Because you can call it a conspiracy theory if you like. I watched Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theory. And again, you know, he's talking about this, these groups of families that the movies like Zeitgeist and there's been so many movies on YouTube about the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds and the Morgans and the Chases and these few groups of elite family, the Illuminati and all of them, how they are controlling our food, our water, our systems. And they know. They know that we're all light beings. They know this. That's why they keep us distracted by nonsense. That's why they keep us distracted by stuff like Black Friday and consumerism. That's why they keep us distracted in eternal wars, because they know that we're all interconnected. And they know that even though you're sitting at your desk right now at some corporation, you're feeling the suffering of the Palestinian people that are getting murdered right now. Because you're not separate from the Palestinian people. You're not separate from the Israeli people. You're not separate from them starving people in Africa. So you're tuning into all of that. So they're doing this stuff because they know that on a soul level, it's affecting you. So if you're distracted by that, you're not going to try to introspect or make yourself better or try to tap into your divinity, because you're caught up in fear and chaos and confusion. Because just think what they were up to while we were all distracted by this stupid election. They were up to all kinds of stuff. So on the Jesse Ventura show, they were showing how all of a sudden these underground bunkers have been being created in the Ozarks in Missouri and in that area. And there's all these underground tunnels. And so they're saying that, hey, the elite is getting ready to cause World War III, and they're going to go underground while we all fight amongst each other and kill each other. Then there's going to be enough of us left for them to control so that they can use us to work and so that we're there to worship them, so that they don't have to do any work. And there is a systemic plot by these a group of people for world domination, for the New World Order, and to control the masses. And they've been doing it for centuries, and all we can say is, oh, well, at least I got my 55-inch screen TV, you know, and I'm okay, you know, I got my 401k and all this other stuff, you know, but is your soul right? Are you happy? You know, and so we just want people to realize that it's put up or shut up time. Either you're going to choose the light that is within you, or you're going to continue to subscribe to all of this stuff that you've been programmed into believing, that you've been socialized into believing. And the best person to keep you stuck is the people around you, just like in the Matrix. When Morpheus told Neo, these people used to be your friends. Now they're agents. Now they're agents that can sabotage you because they see you waking up, and they don't want you to wake up because they'll have to wake up. So you know what? They're going to shackle your spirit. They're going to say, well, why are you trying that meditating thing out? You know, why are you reading about the 7 spiritual laws of success, which you can't teach any of the spiritual laws separate from one another. So it's very unhealthy for them just to put out the law of attraction. And that is by design, too, because think about it. The law of attraction came out, and T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen and all these mega church people, what are they teaching? They're teaching prosperity and abundance so that people can be focused on money and stuff. This one preacher was talking about this lady, and he was talking about how this one preacher was preaching, you know, name it and claim it. If you want something, then you just need to put the energy out there. Again, the law of attraction, except they're using Christianity. So this lady, there was this house that she absolutely loved, but somebody lived in it. This lady had her mail forwarded to this dude's house. Okay? This dude had no intention of selling his house, moving his house, and he's wondering, why am I getting this woman's mail? So finally he gets a hold of her, and he's like, why are you having, you know, your mail sent to my house? And she's like, because my preacher told me to name it and claim it, and this is a house that I want. I mean, that's how ridiculous it's gotten. And okay, could you imagine? I mean, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with wealth and abundance, because believe me, I plan on having a house on the San Juan Islands that's probably about $2 million right on the ocean, so I could wake up and wave to the whales and the dolphins every day and look at the beautiful mountains. And because of the nature of the work that I do, I have to have a house in L.A. and a house in the San Juan Islands and probably a house someplace else. And there's nothing wrong with wanting more of this world, because it's just energy. You know, the universe doesn't know the difference between you wanting a Mercedes and you wanting a skateboard. It's all about what Kapra was talking about, the energy and the frequency. You have to match your frequency and your energy and your belief, and believe that you're worthy of it, believe that you're deserving of it, in order to attract it into your life. So when The Secret came out, everybody wrote down their little, you know, list of, oh, these are the things that I want, and they put it underneath their bed and, you know, made their little dream boards and all of that. But did you really believe that you could have those things? And more importantly, did you believe that you were a co-creator of your reality? Or were you waiting for some mystery god to say, you are worthy, my child, I will get you, I will pay your bills? Because how many people go to church every day and none of their prayers are answered? It doesn't have anything to do with a god that is angry at you, or a god that says you got to jump through all these hoops. It has to do with, first of all, mentally and emotionally and spiritually, do you believe within yourself that you are worthy of it, that you're deserving of it, and that you can have it, and that it's okay for you to have it? That's number one. Number two, biologically speaking, when your cells are created with receptors for chemicals from your brain, and every emotion and thought that you have creates a chemical that goes into your bloodstream, that goes into your cells and feeds it. If you're someone that's constantly angry or frustrated or worried or whatever, guess what? Those produce chemicals, and your cells get used to feeding off of those chemicals. So our bodies are natural healers. If we create new cells on a constant basis, why is there disease? Ask yourself that. If the body is constantly creating brand new cells, Why is there disease? The reason that there's disease is because when that cell separates and it divides, what it does is it creates a new cell with receptors to receive, to be prepared to receive the chemicals that it receives the most. So if your body is used to being fed anger and fear and anxiety and all of that other stuff, guess what? Your new cells are producing more receptors for that. So if you've got all these cells in your bodies, in your body that are addicted to these chemicals from your brain that keep you stuck, then you haven't created any receptors for wealth. You haven't created any receptors for health or abundance or for your soulmate. There's no receptors for that. There's no receptors. Huh. You can become as vegan as you want to be, but if you don't have any enough receptors in your cells to process nutrition because your cells are so busy processing the chemical of anger, then how can you evolve? So we have to understand that we have a mental body, emotional body, a physical body, and a spiritual body. Each of them have different needs. And when one of them is off balance, it throws the rest of them off balance. So, yeah, it's really, really complicated dealing with ourselves. But why wouldn't it be? We're God. We're multidimensional. We have no limitations. We're full of pure potentiality. We're pure energy. So, yeah, it's kind of complicated. But you know what? Once you sit down and get to know yourself, it's the most rewarding thing you'll ever do. And I'll tell you what, once you get to understand yourself, you kind of understand everybody else around you, and you kind of give them a break. Because you can sit there and say, I understand why he's an asshole. Look what he's been through in his life. And he doesn't have the emotional or spiritual fortitude to change it. And I'm not going to add to his misery by sitting there and judging him. I'm going to try to help him. I'm going to try to encourage him. But I'm also going to try to give him tough love because that's what kind of what this show is about. It's just like, look, okay, wake up, people. This is tough love. You know, I could sit here and say all these flowery things to you and be like, you know, namaste, you know, you are such a beautiful, blossoming, flowering soul. And, you know, come on. No. I'm going to sit there and say, you know what? You're being an idiot. And you are not loving yourself. You're not loving yourself if you're not taking time for yourself. I don't care how many kids you got. I don't care how great your life partner is. If you don't take time for you, and this is what Kepra is saying, this is why different relationships are going to be leaving your life, because they're getting in the way of you knowing you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's funny that Jen mentioned about, you know, the flowery words over the radio, you know, and that's it. People want to hear all the flowery words and things of that nature as if they're going to get shakti pot by listening to a voice over the radio or something, and all of a sudden it's going to raise their kundalini and they're going to be totally enlightened or something. The problem also lies with the fact that with all this, people still continue to look for forces outside of themselves to help them grow and become spiritual beings when they already are that, you know. And we're living in this situation where there's a lot of people that talk major, major science when it comes to the laws of attraction. So you're basically hearing preachers do it. You're hearing Muslim imams do it, you know, and all kinds of different gurus beginning to do this. And, you know, it's to the point that even these religions have to step it up to the plate and work with the intellectual body, because people really do want to know. Christianity can no longer just tell you to have faith. They have to stimulate your mind intellectually too, even Christianity. And the thing about it, if you notice, the church and everything else, they're getting more into secret societies. They're talking about conspiracies of the Illuminati and how some are even talking about UFOs and how these UFOs are really the angels of Satan and things of that nature. And once again, I have to put this warning out to don't get caught up in all this fear, because that's still not developing you spiritually. Now you're giving power to the people that are in control or that are trying to control everything. You're giving power to them. But let's look at the flip side of what giving power is. It's not so much that you don't recognize these forces exist. That's the problem. The problem is, okay, people will dwell on them to the point that they talk themselves out of doing what needs to be done. But then it's an imbalance. See, they're so busy talking about the unseen hand and behold a pale horse and the sinister dark brotherhood and things of that nature to the point that they talk themselves out of doing anything because now they're creating hopelessness. I understand that, but the imbalance comes into play when you're basically saying, oh, don't give power to ignore it. It doesn't exist. Ignore it. But you got to raise your son. You got to raise your daughter. So how are you going to give them the tools that are going to equip them dealing with this society? With the fact they're about, you know, we're looking at the possibility of a cashless society. We're looking at the possibility of a shift. We're looking at the possibility of all this being destroyed and something even better being reborn. We're looking at the possibility of us going straight into that reality. We're looking at a lot of possibilities. However, you do not ignore the negative, only the positive in this world, because this world is held together by positive and negative forces. Now, do you give power to that negativity by always dwelling on it? No, but you do acknowledge it. Okay? You wouldn't be able to help your son going to school with a racist teacher if you didn't acknowledge the fact that she was being racist, and you got to talk your son through it. Or your daughter, who is being sexually harassed. You know what I mean? And it's, oh, my goodness, he's talking about these negative things. He's bringing this stuff into existence. No. A lot of spiritual people still have the same hang-ups, conflicts. If the Dalai Lama didn't see some type of negativity in the world, he wouldn't get angry, goddammit. Okay? He has to acknowledge
the
negativity.
That he said that he's still working on forgiving the Chinese.
Yeah. I mean, shit, if he would have stayed in China, they would have killed him. They would have wiped him out. They would have put him in prison. He had to leave. He had to acknowledge the negativity of a Chinese regime. Take it over Tibet. So let's deal with reality here, you know. Let's deal with the reality of the fact that this world is not a perfect one. According to the Dogon tradition.
According to New Age philosophy, the Dalai Lama just had to sit and meditate and love and send love bubbles to the Chinese and, you know, not focus on the fact that they're coming with machine guns, and all that the Dalai Lama and the peaceful monks have are muskets, and, you know, and they weren't supposed to defend themselves. They were just supposed to say, I love you, and Chinese, I love you, and I know that you don't have my best interest at heart, but you know what? I'm not going to focus on the fact that you want to annihilate me, because that would be negative, and that would be giving you power, although you already have the power, because you know what? You're trying to kill me.
Right. I mean, shoot, they obviously had the power to kill you. They obviously had the power. I mean, they invaded Tibet. What do you think China was going to do if they would have stayed there with all that knowledge? They have to, it was time to disseminate the knowledge throughout the world, because you can best believe the Chinese were either going to steal the knowledge or burn it all up. You know?
Exactly.
So, we look at our Native American ancestors on this land as well. We look at our African ancestors in Africa. And we're going to discover that everywhere white folks went, the Native Americans or the Africans accepted them as humans with open arms and say, hey, I would love to share my way of life with you. What do? Oh, you guys are savages. Oh, you're Christianity. You believe in what Jesus. Oh, yeah, you got to look like us in order to be accepted by us and all this stuff. So, you know, this is the problem that I have, is the fact that you guys are just now beginning to understand spirituality, and all of a sudden you're going to write books and act like you're so enlightened and that you want to enlighten the world, and everybody already knew that shit. Look at ancient Egypt. Look at the lions and the sun in between the two lions in certain areas of the hieroglyphics. They represent the fact that one lion represents, that's to the left represents the past, and the other line that's to the right represents the future. But in the middle, you have the sun, which means that the sun shines in the present moment. We already knew that. That's ancient. It ain't no new age discovery. All the Taoism, all the Zen and everything else, you know, why do you think Africans dance? So that they could take the power of the moment. They ain't worried about past, present, and future. Time don't exist when you get to an exact state. Okay? We already understand all these things. Understood all these things, you know. You want to act like you have to teach us not to be racist? God damn it, we did not come up with the idea of race.
Right.
Understand that. We did not come up with the idea of race. I want you to hear me out as sounding harsh for a reason. You know, because the thing is that we can't afford to sugarcoat anything anymore. We didn't develop race. So to call us reverse racist is bullshit because we didn't come up with the idea of race. Period. The power dynamics is based on having economic control. And racism only affects those who do not have the economic power to do anything about this situation economically, right? That's what you guys have been playing on. People who don't have the economic power or the knowledge to do so. The capitalists and the intelligentsia. The intelligentsia keeping the knowledge from the people, right? Huh? That's what I'm asking the world right now. So if you know that this information, a lot of the stuff that's out in the bookshelves is bull crap, you know, and all you got to do is look within, why do you continue to be as arrogant to think you're going to come out and teach somebody how to be spiritual? What you're going to do? Take a whole bunch of garbage bags and carpets and have people go and sit in a fake lodge and suffocate?
Right. You can't even do that. You can't even do the Native American tradition correctly.
Can't
and
even
you charge
do it right.
People $9,000? Our people don't. My people do not charge you to come sweat. What? $9,000?
Yeah.
I'm seriously. And here's the thing. Because you know, I'm all for money too. You know what? If you are that lazy. That you don't want to look within, I will give you my PayPal account number, and you can send me $9,000. And you know what? I'll be your spiritual guru.
you know what I'm saying?
I mean, seriously, if you have that much money just to throw away on your so-called pursuit of enlightenment, then, you know, I'll give you my PayPal number, and you can pay me. But you know what? I have spiritual integrity, so I'm not going to do to you what that person did. But the bottom line is, what are you people thinking? It is so easy, yet so complicated, to sit alone with yourself. Because what? You have to look at your own demons. You have to look at your own dark side and embrace it and love it. You have to own up to the things that you've done. You have to own up to the things that have wounded your heart. And you have to come to terms with them. And yeah, it hurts. And yeah, it's difficult. And yeah, it's not easy. But it's the only way. You can't take a pill. You know? Even before Neo took the pill, the reason that Morpheus and them found him is because he was already awake. And he was ready for the next level.
Right.
But there's no enlightenment pill that you can take. There's no workshop that you can take. There's none of that. You have to sit yourself down and look within yourself. And find your own journey. A good book for you guys to read about the things that we've been talking about as far as dealing with the negative and also dealing with power. Because power has been abused in our society, from our parents to our teachers to adults to people in our families and different relationships that we've been in. So there's this book called Power Abused, Power Healed, and it's by Judith Barr, and she talks about this thing about the negative, and she says the following. She says that statements such as "this is my truth," and "that is your truth," and "we can agree to disagree," offers an escape from the need to do the hard work. To know, to learn, and to face an objective truth, a deeper truth. And on a larger scale, this experience raises a profound question for us all. How do we point out and set right something that is amiss in the world without splitting the positive and the negative apart? Because they're one. You know, this winter, a lot of you guys' batteries are going to die. You're not going to be able to start your car to get to work. And guess what? The jumper cable's got to get connected to a positive and a negative charge. Why is that? So it's a destructive philosophy when people tell you, oh, don't focus on the negative. Because when you do this, you're choosing to turn away from your lower self, your shadow self, rather than transform it from within and without. And this is exactly how Hitler came to power. Because when Hitler came to power, it's because people didn't want to focus on the negative. And she also stated... you have to have a commitment to hold both the positive and the negative together, refusing to separate them or split them apart. So you hold together peace and violence, joy and sorrow, doing and being. You don't separate them. Because when your intention is to only focus on the positive, you mistakenly believe that the result will be that you avoid the negative. But instead, you're splitting the two sides of a whole, and it causes exactly what you're trying to prevent.
Yeah. You know,
and if you focus too much on, oh, you know, I'm a good person, and da 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 da, well, then you're not looking at your shadow side. I had a young man that I worked with for, I worked with his girlfriend, and she was in one of my high school programs, and I kind of took them under my wing. And he really liked me. And so they sat me down one day, and they said, well, you know, he has something to tell you. So he told me that, you know, when he was younger, he lived on the East Coast, and his Latino family had him involved in a gang. And his uncle had him selling drugs when he was 9 years old. And at one point, a rival gang had killed someone in his family. So his uncle, he was like 11, 12 years old, his uncle woke him up out of a dead sleep and handed him a Glock and said, let's go. And he said, I don't know if I killed anybody, but I can tell you this, that me and my family barged into that house and we shot up everybody in the house. And he said, and there wasn't a person alive. And he said, and I just wanted you to let you know that you have a potential murderer in your midst. And you know what I said to him? I have the potential to be a murderer. Because I'm going to tell you what, anybody messes with my son, oh, you're dead. You're dead. You're absolutely positively dead. And I don't have any regret over that, because why? In nature, mess with a mama bear's cub if you want to. Even try to get close to a mama bear's cub if you want to. And are we saying, oh, the bear is practicing negativity? You know what I'm saying? Come on now. This is about life or death. This is about survival. And you cannot sit here and tell me that you would or would not do something. You don't know until you're in that circumstance, period. You don't know what you're capable of doing. And if you've got yourself into believing, oh, I'm this great, wonderful person, and I would never harm anybody or whatever, wait till you get into a certain situation. And that very lower self of yourself that you've been oppressing and saying, well, I don't hate, you know, I'm not racist, I'm not sexist, you know. And if you, in all of us are a little bit of everything, and all of us have the potential, the free will choice at any time to choose the other side. So if you're repelling that part of yourself, it's just making it more powerful and it's more hidden. So guess what? It's going to be, when it manifests itself, it's going to shock even you. Because you've been oppressing it and you've been repressing it and you haven't been acknowledging it, so it's been hiding and it's been festering and it's been growing. It's been creating this alternate personality so that when you get triggered, this other energy comes out and you're like, oh, my God, I didn't know I was capable of that. Yeah, because you never acknowledged that you were both saint and sinner, because you are, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. It really is. Because like I said, if you're easily offended or the word fuck scares you, then this is not the show for you. We're not trying to offend anybody, you know, because I'm going to have evangelists on this show. I'm going to have Catholic priests on this show. I'm going to have agnostics and goddesses and atheists on this show, because I want you to get introduced to the human family and all of our many different perspectives, because when it all comes down to it, where is the love? Where is the love? But we have to love ourselves first in order to love everybody else and accept them. I don't have any problem with the atheist. My favorite bumper sticker says, Jesus, please save me from your followers. Now, we can debate whether or not Jesus existed, whether or not he was the son of God. It doesn't matter. The philosophy that has transcended time is a beautiful, the gospel of love, the gospel of peace that Jesus taught. It's a wonderful thing that everybody should subscribe to. But I can understand why there's atheists, because Jesus' followers beat you over the head with nonsense, and then you try to come to their church, and they look their nose down at you and treat you terrible. Because they're not walking the path of Christ. They're not treating you like you ought to be treated. So, of course, it repels people from religion, because the people that practice religion are holier than thou. I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't smoke. Okay, but you know what? You're rude to people.
Right. Yeah. Sure. You know what? I'd rather kick you with a person who basically slams down a 40 and is going to have my back than someone who reads 1,000 holy books every year and is an asshole.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You know, let's be real. It's like, what you spoke about as far as the positive and the negative. You can observe in nature that when you take water and fire and put them together, you get vapor. And what does vapor do? It rises. So you take these two elements. One is positive and one is negative. Some will say that water is a negative and fire is a positive. Whatever, however you want to tweak it. When you bring this positive and negative together, you get vapor, and vapor rises to the top, representing ascension. So the same dynamic is happening as you basically raise the two currents of your kundalini energy. That's positive and negative. You're not going to just breathe out of one nostril, because that'll throw off your kundalini. It'll throw off your shakti. Okay? A bird is not going to just fly with a wing, you know, unless it's got some type of helicopter motion going on or some weird shit. That still wouldn't even be one propeller. There has to be some type of balance. Always. So,
right. You
know, what it is that you come across and you integrate these two halves in order to transcend them. The same goes with integrating the two left and right half of your brain, that is the two brain hemispheres, and within the center, what? The pineal gland, which is shaped like a pine cone, which the Catholic Church, the elite of these religions, all know is the third eye. At nighttime, this same part of you, this pineal gland, actually secretes DMT, dimethyltryptamine. And the thing is that this chemical helps you to dream and reach transcendental states of consciousness. Now, you have this in you. Even the Holy Bible, a.k.a. Helios Biblia, solar book, contains a part in it that says in Matthew 6:22, that when the eye is made single, the body will be filled with light. I mean, this is even in the Christian Bible. You have this ability to bring this balance within the fort, and you can transcend the duality of this realm. You see? So you have to understand what the good and the bad is, because it's telling you in a metaphor in the solar book, the Helios Biblia, which is a plagiarization from the ancient text coming out of Kemet in Samaria, that the fall was the learning of the knowledge of good and evil. Or was it really a fall? Or was it a necessary step in our evolution? Otherwise, why was it allowed to happen? And I'm not telling you to take that shit literally, by the way. I'm just basically telling you is that you're here to experience this duality so you can learn how to overcome it. And
right. The
thing about it, I would love for somebody to pay my ass $2,000 so I could run my mouth, because I go everywhere running my mouth, and I'll bring Paul Mooney and Eddie Griffin with me. I make it worth your while. Yep. You can have a spiritual.
Now talk about some uncomfortable dialogue with them two.
Exactly.
You got to add Chris Rock in there because Chris Rock don't play.
Exactly. Yep. I'll bring all those cats with me. You think I care? Shit, we'll have a spiritual comedy fest, and people will be so it'll be so crazy, you know, they wouldn't be able to believe they tried, you know. But hey, that's what these spiritual gurus are. Some of them are straight comedians. I'm listening to what they be saying. I'll be rolling to some of the shit that comes out of their mouths.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, hell, when it all boils down to it, you're paying these people to entertain you because, really, pay attention to yourself and you have all this knowledge within you. But hey, if you want me to entertain you, I'll gladly get on the plane and accept $2,000 from all y'all.
Right. Exactly.
You know? Hey, you know, but the truth of the matter is that you have your answers deep within yourself because the gods saw that the best way to hide this knowledge was to put it within people. Put the knowledge in them because that's the last place they were going to look.
Yeah, another book that I would like to recommend is The Alchemist, and it's by Paolo, P-A-U-L-O, and I believe you spell his last name C-O-E-L-H-O, something like that. But if you just Google The Alchemist, it's another good book, and it just talks about people's life paths and how we are all, we all have a destiny and we all have a life path that we're supposed to follow, and the majority of the people don't follow it. That's why I always say that scripture in the Bible that says many are called but chosen are few. And I add another part onto it, and I say the chosen are few because so few choose. So few choose to be the chosen ones, right? So few believe. So few people believe those daydreams that they have and those little intuitions that they have and those little tickles that they get around their heart. When they're doing the things that they love and they're doing the things that they enjoy. Just like I was talking to Sister Ariel the other day, who's a magnificent chef, and she's been working so hard on her chef's business, you know, and it's thriving, and she's really growing, and her food is all organic, and it's natural, and it's vegan, and she's on this raw kick now, and she gets around some people that she knows, and the first thing they want to know, well, do you have a real job? What is that supposed to mean? So you're hating on her because, yeah, she's decided to make some sacrifices to where she's not driving a Benz, and she's not living in a big fancy house, and she doesn't have a 55-inch screen TV, but you know what? She's living in her purpose. And when you're living in your purpose, you have so much joy and you have so much peace. And not that you don't have good days and bad days, because I woke up severely pissed off and grumpy today. And I know that a lot of people that go to my Facebook and I'm always posting these positive things and everything like that are like, what is wrong with her today? Well, because I'm a human being and I still have to exist as a spiritual being on this planet with all of this negativity and all of these idiots that I have to share life with, you know, like when I was a social justice activist, I kind of backed up from that because I'm like, wait a minute, I'm out here fighting for people's rights and the people don't even care. These same people that I'm out here putting my life in jeopardy for don't care. They wouldn't even fight for themselves. So in this book, The Alchemist, it talks about your relationship with your heart and that your heart comes from the soul of the universe and that if you get present with your heart will tell you everything that you need to know, and it will guide you, and that when you want something with all your heart, the universe has no other choice than to bend to your will. The universe has no other choice than to conspire to make your dreams come true. But the problem is, so many of us have been wounded by life, gone through so much suffering, that we've got these walls built around our hearts. I know some people that have moats built around their heart to where, you know, if you want to come visit their heart, you got to jump over alligators and crocodiles just to give them a hug because they can't receive the love, you know? And if you can't receive love, you know, like when you tell someone you love them, do you really feel it? When somebody hugs you or you hug somebody, are you really feeling it? Most likely not, because so many of us are numb. We've had to numb our emotions to live in this painful, difficult world. So when your heart is telling you, go to that audition, go back to school. Write that book you've always wanted to write. Enter that poetry slam. Write that song that's been in your heart. Then we don't do it. So I would recommend that you read The Alchemist, because it's a very inspiring story about your life path and having a relationship with your heart. And even though I've been, and the journey never ends, and even though I've been on this journey for over 20 years trying to find myself, I found value in that book because I said, you know what? I don't have a very good relationship with my heart because my heart tells me things all the time and my mind talks my heart out of it and actually argues with my heart. So if I'm having this argument between my mind and my heart, then that's no different than the Israelis and the Palestinians fighting. Do you understand how my internal fight with my heart and my mind manifests itself in war in the Middle East? Because I'm connected. I'm connected to that. So any chaos and confusion that you have going on in your life is manifesting it in the world. You're affecting the entire world. You're not just affecting yourself and your friends and your family. You're affecting all of life, and you're causing all life to suffer because you're suffering. So wouldn't it make sense to take the responsibility to end your own suffering, to let yourself out of your own prison, and to begin to sit down at night and before you go to sleep at night say, you know, heart, I haven't really been very kind to you. You've been telling me all of these things. You've been showing me my dreams and you've been showing me things that you want to do. And, yeah, a couple times I've put myself out there and I've tried to follow my dreams, but, you know, I've tried twice and I'm just going to give up. But before you go to bed at night, sit and say, you know what, I'm going to sleep. So my conscious mind isn't going to be here. Talk to me. Tell me all the things that you've really wanted to tell me. And make peace with your heart and begin to love your heart. And then after you're done with that, then you can sit down with your inner child, because that's another obstacle, is our inner child, our inner children are so full of light and love and possibility and curiosity and wonderment. That's why the Bible says that in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to become as a little child. It doesn't mean you go back to being 6 years old. It means you go back to being a child where you believe in possibility. You believe in miracles. You believe that anything can be yours. Anything. And so your inner child is going to sabotage you as an adult because they're afraid of the circumstances and the situations that you're putting them in. So when you begin to go on this journey, and I didn't start my journey consciously. I was raised Catholic. I was married to a Pentecostal. And I was a staunch Bible thumper. If you would have met me 20 years ago, you wouldn't even know I was the same person. But what happened was my son was born with water on his brain, and he was very sick, and he was premature. And so I started feeling guilty that I had done something. And that's why my son was born sick. And because my son was in the hospital for so long before I got to bring him home, my bills started stacking up. So I said, you know what? I need to win the lottery. That's the only way I'm going to get myself out of debt. So I went to the library to find a book on numerology in order to win the lottery. And this book on numerology had universal truths in it. And that's where my spiritual path started. My spiritual path started by me wanting to win the lottery. And from there, I got introduced to Edgar Cayce and all of these different spiritual things. But that's how my spiritual journey started, by accident, by being in debt and wanting to win the lottery. And I've been on this journey for almost 23 years now, and I can't say that I've achieved or attained or anything. All I can tell you for certain is that I love, that's the only thing I can tell you for certain. I can't say I know anything, because I'm open to even all of this stuff that I've told you today. If new information came through tomorrow, I'd get back on the radio and say, hey, all that stuff we told you yesterday, it's not true. There's something else out there. So I'm open to grow, but through my 23 years, I keep coming back to the same basic thing. Love has something to do with it. And you have to begin to love yourself. You have to love everything about yourself. You're good, you're bad, and you're ugly. because no one else is going to be able to unless you start with yourself.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like Tina Turner asked, what love's got to do with it? Love has everything
to do
thing. With it.
Right.
I mean, you know, the thing about it, though, is, you know, when you love yourself, you're going to pull yourself out of the situations that are really, really keeping you in prison. You're going to do your best, because when it starts with self-love, you can heal, you know, you can heal. It's not so much about loving everybody else and not loving yourself, because it just does not work that way.
Yep.
It just simply does not, you know. True love for self, which people got twisted, they think if you love somebody, you let them abuse you. And that's not love. That's not love for self. And the other person is not loving you, you know. As far as that, love doesn't have anything to do with it, but love has something to do with you getting out of that situation. And that's you saying, nope, I'm not going to take this anymore. I love myself too much.
Mm-hmm.
I love myself too much to continue to be disrespected by folks when I got to get paid a minimum wage job and have to be there and pick up the check and have to be subjugated to that type of treatment. I love myself too much to continue to carry grudges about something that somebody did to me, and I can't get my life together and can't move on with my life because of what somebody else is doing. They're not even thinking about me. I love myself too much to focus on all the possible illnesses that I could have and not doing anything about that to become a better person by changing my lifestyle. I love myself too much, you know, and there's nothing wrong with loving self. There's nothing wrong about being selfish when it comes to loving yourself, because once you're selfish enough to love yourself, then you can be selfless enough to love everybody and everything else.
And here's the thing, you come into this world by yourself, you leave by yourself, so why not start with yourself? You know what I'm saying? My son is my sun and my moon and my stars, but you know what? He almost died a couple years ago. Wouldn't I would have still had to exist, right? If he had left me, I still would have had to exist. The person that you love the most could go out and get hit by a bus tomorrow. You still have to deal with you. And this idea that it's selfish to love yourself and to think about yourself and put yourself first, you're all that you have. You came into the world by yourself. You're going to leave by yourself. All of this stuff that you're surrounding yourself with and all of these things that you're occupying yourself with, you can't take any of that with you. So when it gets down to the nit-grit, you know, we've talked about the cells. When it gets to the basic core cell of you, what does this all mean? What was the whole point of this? Even they always say, oh, you know, when I think there's like a little saying that says, when you're on your deathbed and you're getting ready to die, the last thought in your mind isn't, oh, I wish I would have worked more hours at my job. They always say you sit and contemplate all the people that you've loved and everything like that, and it really is about love. It really is. But if all your love is outer directed towards other people and you're always doing for them and you're always sacrificing for them and you're not doing for you, then you've missed the whole point. Because the more that you receive, the more that you have to give. Period. The more that you receive, yeah, the more that you have to give. So it's okay,
right,
to love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, I've listened to people make a lot of poverty vows by saying, I don't want to ask the Creator for anything because that'll be selfish. I'm like, you're missing the whole point. You see, the universe wants to give to you. The universe wants you to be abundant because you are part of the experience of the intelligence that governs the universe. You are that experience. So why would it not want to see you prosperous? You know, but what is prosperity? Is it everything that everybody keeps on calling prosperity? Is it having a brand new car like The Price is Right? Is it having a big old mansion in which there's a bowling alley in your basement? I mean, you know, what is prosperity? Is it having children? Is it having a beautiful family? You know, is it reaching inner happiness? You know, is prosperity always something that's on the outside of you? You know what I mean? A wealth that you have within would manifest on the outside in some form. You might be making a good $50 an hour job, and you're making more money than most, and you're still about as happy as a rock. You know, you're still not feeling any form of happiness. You know, you feel like it's an obligation, it's a task, because it might be something that you don't want to do. And then you might run across somebody who's getting paid minimum wage and doing exactly what they want to do, and they're the happiest thing in the world. You know, so the fact of the matter is that the reason why people are not happy is because they're not fulfilling that which they feel is meaningful in their lives. They're not doing what they feel is meaningful to them. They're not. So there's internal resistance. And internal resistance creates all kind of ulcers and disease in your body, and it throws the life force off and makes you tired and depressed and everything else.
And then you treat other people badly because you're not happy with yourself.
Yep, exactly. Yep, and that's what's going on with so many people. You know, so many Americans are not happy with themselves. You know, and you go to other countries. When I went to the Middle East, when I went to Iraq, I discovered something very interesting, and that is the families there, even though they did not have much in some of the villages to American standards, the families were happy, and the children were playing kickball in the streets, or they was playing soccer in the streets and everything else. They were happy. You saw neighbors getting together and having a good time. And over here, I'm looking at all this luxury and all this wealth. You don't have to worry about walking a whole mile to get a bucket of dirty water out of the ground to wash your clothes and your dishes and feed your family over here, you know. But what you do deal with is the fact that you're never satisfied with what you have and who you are, because everything is about competition, and you're feeling that the only way that you can prove is if you can be competitive with everybody else, you know. And you got to constantly show off with shit that you don't need.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Well, yeah, and you know, a friend of ours, you know, former Black Panther, went over to Venezuela, and he was talking about, you know, how they do the siesta thing, where in the midday over on in that part of the world where they take the afternoon off and then they go back to work. He said it was such a trip because he was there and he saw, you know, everybody came out and they sat and they shared meals together. And you know what he said? He said, how could you be lonely here? How could you even
right.
feel lonely? Because he felt a sense of community. And that's
right.
what we're lacking here, because we're all it's a hard balance between sovereignty and independence and unity and sharing your life with people. You have to have a balance. But when you don't even know your neighbors, you don't even talk to your neighbors, you can't even trust your neighbors, your neighbors are shooting you because your stereo's too loud, you know. I'm still trying to figure out how we've decided that we're the greatest country in the world, because we've, you know, even if you get pissed off at this country and you go and move someplace else, it's not going to be any different, because our bullshit reaches the entire planet. We are influencing people all over the world with our Western nonsense and with our, you got to have money and you got to have this and you got to have that. And the thing about it is you're never going to be satisfied, because as soon as you buy a new TV, there's a new one out. As soon as you buy a new computer, there's a new one out. As soon as you've decided, well, this is what I want to look like and this is how I dress, then you get on the TV and there's a commercial that says, well, this is the way that you should look like and this is the way that you should dress. So we're constantly, like you said, going outside of ourselves to create ourselves, and we don't even know ourselves.
Right. Right.
If you sat down and really thought about who you really are and what you really think, you're going to find, well, that's really not my truth. That's something my dad told me when I was 6 years old. That's not really my truth. That's something that my husband told me that
right.
I should believe or that I should
right.
feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have to have that balance between sovereignty and community. And it's a tricky balance. Everything that we're talking about that needs to be done is not easy. Like I said, I've been at it for 23 years, and I can't even really say I've made much progress. The Dalai Lama will say the same thing. I've read his book. He said, I've been at this for 60 years, and I don't even know if I've made more progress. And the man meditates 6 hours a day, so I know he's made more progress than I have. But it's a journey. I'm not saying I've already achieved, I've already arrived. All I'm saying is I've had some really cool experiences by going within, and it's helped me to heal, and I'm not as frustrated and angry and worried and full of angst and anger, and I no longer have low self-esteem, and I'm not constantly, you know, worried about how am I going to do this and how am I going to do that and where's the money going to come from. I have unshakable peace in my life, and I'm doing these shows to share this with people. I don't know what your journey is. I don't know what your path is. I don't know what your truth is. Only you know. All I know for sure is that it's within you, and it starts with self-love. Those are the only two things that I know for sure, that it's within you, and it starts with self-love. Everything else is just details. Like Bruce Lee is the spiritual guide of my show. Why? Because Bruce's philosophy was about self-expression. He said, I'm gonna teach you this particular martial arts that I created, but it's just the core. It's just the basic things that you need to know to defend yourself. If you want to add ninjutsu or tai chi or taekwondo to it, then that's your own individual unique expression. I can't tell you what your unique expression is. I'm Bruce Lee. There's only one of me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I respect him, because he was so focused on people being themselves, defining themselves for themselves, expressing themselves as themselves without apology, without an excuse, without having to explain themselves. Because you don't have to explain yourself to anybody. You don't owe anybody an explanation about your choices and what you do unless they begin to affect other people. Mm-hmm. But even still, it's your choice and it's your path. But if you're not going to take the time to look within yourself and find yourself, then that's on you. Don't make that about everybody else, and certainly don't think because you went and voted for Barack Obama that your life's going to change.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people waiting for Barack Obama to fly out of the sky like R. Kelly with a red cape and save them.
Okay.
You know, and
when
the thing
Barack
about
Obama,
it is,
when in real truth, Barack Obama is putting American people in danger with his drones. You know, and he's keeping us in a bad space, where he signed this law where he's taking away our basic freedoms of assembly and protest. But hey, you know, he's a brother, so we got to support him.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I'm going to do a whole show on Barack Obama. It's going to piss people off. I respect him as a human being. I wouldn't mind hanging out with him, doing some community organizing. The wife and the kids are cool. But as my president, nah, I'm straight. I'm straight, dude, because
you know,
as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I tell people straight up. People be there. Well, about Barack Obama is a black president, I said, what the hell are you talking about? Barack Obama is white. Can't you tell? Look at the mind state. He is white. You're looking at the outer, but you're not understanding the agenda in which he represents. You know?
Exactly.
A lot of people ain't going to want to hear that. Oh, you're putting a race card. Well, hell, y'all pulled the race card when you put him in.
Exactly. We're getting ready to come to the end of our show. And I would just really like to thank you, Kipra, for meta-marinating on the cosmos for us, and I hope that this gives people some things to meta-marinate upon. And Kipra will be a regular guest on our show, and he'll be getting his own show soon, so tune into that. And again, just remember that the message about this is love. And if you're a parent, you know that sometimes you do the soft love, the cuddly love with your kids, and sometimes you do the tough love. So you're going to get both from the E-Mandisa show, but it's all about love. So let's just all fall in love, humanity, because we're really, really beautiful people, and we just need to fall in love with each other. So we're signing off for now. God bless.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
the sister fright. But it's all good, cause I love the feeling, man. Wouldn't trade the feeling just for nothing. It's just something I like, cause it feels so, so right. Man, I know she's my wife, cause she give me that high. She's an angel wife, all ain't no fool for her. And if she ever leave me, I'd be so hurt. I'm falling in love. Every night, and me and her start a life, and keep it going till we die.